Welcome to Plans Are Booked, a podcast for every reader. I'm Molly Galler.
I'm Stephanie Blackburn.
And I'm Caitlin Madison. Welcome to chapter 21.
21?
21. Mm-hmm.
Our pod can drink. Yay.
I was going to say, what's gambling significant?
So I am coming off of a not fun girls' weekend, unfortunately. Had to replace all of my tires, and then my friend missed a step and sprained her ankle really badly. So it was just like a lot of not good times, and that's how I started my spring break from school. But my birthday is this coming weekend, and I have plans to hang out with a bunch of people and eat dumplings and drink drinks, and then I'm flying to Florida to see my parents. So I think we're on the upswing. I do want to give a special shout out to Delta Dental of Massachusetts. I spent an hour and 15 minutes on hold today for one patient that they said didn't break their tooth enough, quote unquote, to get the crown covered. No one ever talked to me. It was just time for the workday to end, so I just had to hang up after being on hold for an hour and 15 minutes. And then it took me an hour to get to Watertown from work. For absolutely no reason. I thought there was going to be an accident. No, it was just everyday people. It was like driving around in the land of Richard Scarry. Everybody was like, rah, 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 and like red lights everywhere. It was ridiculous.
I read those books with my nephew frequently, so I have a very fresh visual of the Richard Scarry village.
Yeah, so that's just basically been like the last 3 or so days for me, and I'm ready for things to turn upswing.
I am 2 days into tiling. As you guys know, this is usually my hell week.
Nightmare.
In fact,
Wait, did you just call it a hell week?
Yes.
Which just like conjures images of like football 2 days.
Yes. 100% that. I, you know, am not thrilled that my father went on vacation to go play golf for a week while I'm breaking my lower back. Somehow bending over is not easy for me anymore. Don't really want to talk about it. It has been wonderful, and I don't know if it's just a quiet house. Like, I'm only in my own head. I'm singing to myself. No one's bothering me. No one's looking over my shoulder. So therefore, I'm not stressing when things are not turning out perfectly. Like today, there was a slight snafu where I should have cut something at 5 3/8, but I cut it at 5 3/4. Anyways, not important. I didn't get super stressed about it. And that's not to say that I want my dad to go on vacation in the middle of the next reno. I'm just saying this is not as bad of a week as I had expected it to be. I could potentially finish both bathrooms tomorrow. Not the floor, just the walls. I haven't hurt myself. I'm feeling surprised. Basically, it's turning out well.
That's awesome news. And we're very glad that you don't want to die, because usually this is like when you're like, why do I even do this?
Yes.
I just want to put this up for sale. And every year without fail, your dad is like not here. Like, there's some point in February where he teaches ski lessons, and there's some point in March where he's just not here. And I'm always like, what is going on?
Well,
yeah, I feel like a Scott vacation is part of every reno schedule. Like, Caitlin and I could probably write the usual schedule for a Blackburn Family Design flip house, and there would be minimum 1 week where like Scott is gone.
Last year, he was gone in Florida when it started. So if you remember, I did demo the first week by myself. And then he left for a river cruise in France at the end. So then I was finishing up the house by myself. This time, it's just golf in Florida. 2 years ago, he went out to Utah to ski and ended up in the ER. So at least I'm glad that's not happening. But like, I'm not booking vacations. I'd love to be going on a vacation, but I am here to work until the house is done, is all I'm saying.
When I watch you do the tiling every time, it gives me like so much respect when I see like a beautiful bathroom either in someone's house or in a hotel. I'm like, a human being like Stephanie Mae Blackburn, laid this tile into this shower that I am now admiring.
And can I tell you, I go into bathrooms and notice all the things that are incorrect.
Well, because you know how it's done.
Like, for example, you're supposed to caulk the corners, not grout the corners. Do you know how many times I go into a bathroom, even friends' bathrooms? Not, I haven't looked in either of yours, so I'm not saying it's either of yours.
I didn't pick this tile, so I don't care.
I don't own where I live, so F that B.
Anywho, I'm done talking about tile, but I'm feeling really good of myself, good about myself. And today I was like feeling a little proud. Like I looked at what I was doing and was struggling with placement of things, but was like, this is probably my best work. Just the lines are straighter.
I'm feeling a Lizzo good as hell music choice coming on for a future Instagram reel.
The lip balm that you gave me for my birthday is spicy flavored and it's supposed to make your lips tingle and plump. It's just making my mouth water on the sides. I can't tell if it's gloss or drool in the corners.
This is like I'm not joking. This is a live product review.
And it's orange. It came out of the tube orange, like sherbet orange.
Oh.
Yeah. So okay. I don't know. I don't know what she gave me. What's in this stuff? First of all, it's called Viper Bomb. So I should have known. But oh well. Molly, what have you been up to?
I am fresh off of my civic duty today. I was called for jury duty today. I have been called exactly once before this when I was 18 years old. I was like fresh meat in the lottery and I got selected. Today I only had to drive to Woburn, Massachusetts, which is really quite lucky. Sometimes you get like a shit placement and you have to drive very far. I was very lucky. I had a very nice woman who was in charge of the jury pool room. And we were dismissed halfway through the day. They'd never needed to impanel, as they say, a jury for any of the trials that were supposed to happen that day. I was a bit disappointed because I kind of liked the idea of like being off Wi-Fi the entire day. I was like hoping for that. But I did get to read for many hours uninterrupted. And then because it ended so early, I took myself out to lunch before returning to my home. And I just want to share with people who are always like, oh, jury duty, what's that like? Like, what happens? There was one trial that they thought might occur that needed a jury today. And the reason it didn't in the end is because the defendant's wife was the key witness and at the last minute decided she didn't want to testify. So they had no choice but to postpone it.
Did I ever tell you guys that Karen was on a grand jury?
No, but I have had a few people at work who that's happened to and they've been out for like 4 to 6 weeks.
She was out for like 3 months. Like it started like right after New Year's and it ended the week before the pandemic started. So she hadn't been going to work for like 3 months and was going and doing this jury duty situation and making like whatever the bare minimum they pay you for jury. So she was like, I'm taking a huge pay cut doing my civic duty right now. She was on it for like, I want to say 10 or 11 weeks. And she was like, the whole process, like we all thought this guy was guilty, like from the get go. Like it was, we like the evidence they had was like so like damning that she was like, we could have done it in a day probably. And basically it was like two homeless guys that got in a fight and one of them killed the other one. Yeah. And so, yeah, I felt so bad for her. She was like, oh, so I was free for like a week.
Right before the world shut down. She didn't even realize when she was stuck in that jury room what was about to happen.
It was so bad. It was so, so bad. I felt really bad for her.
Well, discussing a murder trial feels like a good segue into our topic for today.
Actually, it does. Sure. It does. So we are delving into our first of, I hope, many mystery books. I love mysteries. And I don't know. I've never really talked to Molly about mysteries before, so I don't know if she likes them, but I know Steph does because she likes murdery stuff.
Well, I started at a young age with Nancy Drew, as one does. I actually haven't read a ton. I mean, I've read, you know, like the ones that are on the bestseller list from time to time.
Did you read Lois Duncan when you were a kid?
No.
She wrote I Know What You Did Last Summer. And then she wrote like probably a dozen other like tween mysteries, basically. It was like you went from Goosebumps and then you graduated to like Lois Duncan.
Well, I did Boxcar Children and Nancy Drew and like that stuff at like elementary level. That's age.
The G-rated stuff. Yeah.
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 Then I went to R.L. Stine. But then I, as you guys know, I didn't really read in high school or college. So
Lois Duncan was hardcore middle school for me. It was like grades 5 to 7, probably. Oh. I really liked her books because did you ever read Face on the Milk Carton, like that series? Yes. Caroline B. Cooney. Yeah, I've taught that book before, actually. Mm-hmm. So I was really into that, which is like, you know, she sees her face on the milk carton and her parents aren't her parents. And, you know, she's got a boyfriend and she's just got her driver's license. And it's like some girls were reading the books where like they were like A Walk to Remember and like the girl or the guy and the boyfriend, girlfriend duo dies. Yeah. So like the Lifetime movie, Cancer Teenage books, there were those girls, Steph. And then there was like me, like, I'm going to solve this case or whatever. And like, I liked Encyclopedia Brown as a kid. I thought those were great. Nate the Great, those were really popular. I taught some of those actually when I taught elementary school. Kids love solving mysteries. Absolutely love it. Like, it's, I need to do some research on it because, like, it, the most reluctant readers were like, I had to know what happened. Like, they, because, like, the idea of like a cliffhanger at the end of a chapter, like, kids can't deal. They can't deal. That's why everybody's a binge watcher now. It's like,
I would say adults can't deal because that's how I read pretty much every single book. I have to pause and be like, okay, it's not about the ending. It's about the journey. Calm down, slow down.
Right. So like teaching mysteries is really tricky because you have to tell kids like no spoilers. Like if you read ahead, that's a choice that you made. Don't blow it for everybody. And like I had to break up some verbal brawls of kids that like intentionally ruined books for other kids.
I don't like that. I will say we discussed this in like our origin story episode that I was a huge TV person for a really, really long time, including as a kid. I love this show on PBS called Ghostwriter. I don't know if you guys watched. Oh yeah,
that was a good one.
Okay, so that was like my jam around mysteries as far as like what I was consuming. I don't know if you would call these books I've read as an adult mystery or thriller, but I was into like Gone Girl, Girl on the Train, Jillian the Girl Flynn. With the Dragon Tattoo, all the girls. I read all those books and loved them. But I don't know that I would call myself like a mystery reader.
So you like thrillers?
I guess that's they're better thrillers. Category.
They're thrillers. That's how I would categorize them anyway. They're thrillers. And also, it sounds like you just really like an unreliable narrator as well. Like all those
and
books.
I hate that.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
I do like when you can tell that the person like is a piece of shit right from the beginning.
Yeah, that doesn't pull me in. I know enough real life ones, I think, is maybe what it amounts to.
I think in Gone Girl specifically, you know, that was like so prolific and everybody read it, even people that don't normally read that kind of book. And there was a plot twist about halfway through where I out loud was like, holy crap. And I feel like that kind of moment is really exciting as a reader. And as much as I am now in like the romance camp or the memoir camp, you just don't get like a aha big reveal like that unless you're reading a thriller or a mystery. Like you got to be in those genres to have that kind of like crazy reveal.
Did you read Verity?
Sure did.
Yeah, that's one that I hadn't had a book in a long time that kind of like my jaw dropped. Like it was this time last year I read it and I was with my parents in Florida and I was reading it by the pool and my mom was like, you are tearing through that. She's like, I know that you usually bring 2 or 3 books when you come visit us, but like you are cruising through that book. And I was like, ah, yeah, there's some really twisted, messed up stuff going on and I need to find out what in the world is happening. So basically, through Goodreads and maybe TikTok, although I don't vividly remember TikTok specifically steering me in the way of this, but I arrived at this book called The Butcher and the Wren, which is by Elena Urquhart. And people might know her because she is one of the hosts of the Morbid podcast. And this is her first book, and it's been announced that it's going to be a series, and then it's going to be optioned to be a movie. And there's already like producers attached to it, so I think like casting is probably happening soon. Like, I'm pretty sure once you have producers attached, it means it's like really a go. Because that means they, producers are just a nice way of saying people that gave money to it. So, they're ready to roll, I think. So it popped up on a couple different spots, like, you might like this. And, there is like a tagline on the back cover of the book, and it's from Tierney Bricker of E! News, who I have followed on social media for 1 million years. She started off as an intern for Kristen Dos Santos back in the day when she used to do like all of her TV spoiler blogs that I used to read religiously. And I mean back in the day, like Dawson's Creek spoilers and like that era of the WB. She was an intern for her. And she also, for a long time, was roommates with Karina Adley McKenzie. And so I have just, those women are my age and they're like in kind of like the TV entertainment realm. I would say Tierney is like kind of an influencer now and still works for E! And Karina has written for The Vampire Diaries and
Roswell,
and
now she's the doing
Originals was her big one, and then now she's doing We Were Liars with
Julie Plec.
I was going to say Plec, but I couldn't think of her first name, Julie Plec. So anyways, so I basically have been following Tierney for like 1 million years, and I saw this book in Target, I think. And I saw that she was one of the people that like reviewed it on the back, and she said, "This cat and mouse thriller will give you your goosebumps chills." That's her tagline on the back of the book. Now, I was just like, oh my God, Tierney has made it. Like, she is on a blurb on a book in Target. Like, and I was like really happy for her. And I was like, and wait a minute, I love a good mystery. Like, I would be very into this because I love murdery stuff. I swear to God, it's because I started watching 6 Feet Under in high school when it was on TV and I never looked back. Give me the most twisted, dark, messed up. I still put up with all the Gillian Flynn movies and books because I do like a twisted woman. I think they're fascinating. And then Meredith Grey, I feel like there was a big comeuppance with like women being dark and twisty and like having, you know, generational and childhood trauma. And like, you know, that became very much like an accepted trope. And also like, I think more accepted in society, like let it out. Like, you're dark and twisty. We don't have to be like fluffy blondes and Barbies all the time. And so I think that Elena Urquhart is a very cool person in real life. I just think that that's the truth. Like, I think that she's very interesting. I think she's totally herself. There's not a lot of people I know that would be like, yeah, I do autopsy reports. Like, I'm an autopsy technician and I'm going to make a podcast called Morbid. And I'm going to talk about dead bodies and weird deaths and investigating creepy, crawly, crappy stuff and whatever. And then I'm going to write a book that where there's an autopsy, like detective person who essentially is on the hunt for a serial killer who is basically acting like it's a game. And I'm going to put it in a really cool setting. And oh, also like I'm going to make it a series while I'm at it, because why not?
And I'm going to write from the perspective of the serial killer.
It's fine. It's not creepy at all. So that's what The Butcher and the Wren is. And Wren is the main character. She's like the heroine. And Butcher is basically the nickname that the serial killer gets because he is brutal in the way that he murders people. And it's just kind of like your heart's in your throat the whole time you're reading it, because it's very, very vivid. And you get inside the head of like somebody that gets their kicks from murdering people.
It's also that every single chapter ends with a, oh, well, I need to keep going because what the heck, you know?
I just love that she is a podcast host turned author. because I think Steph is sitting here and like she's going to be one. Also, did you know she has another podcast called The Rewatcher?
No.
It's about rewatching Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And it's also very pop. She has a successful podcast host twofold. On top of just writing a book series, it's going to be a movie now.
I also agree that Steph will be a podcaster / author.
And I want to say a couple of things. One, I think this is an amazing title. It's very catchy, like to the eyeballs on the shelf, but also when you say it out loud, it just sounds like something you want to know more about. I know,
like,
it's going to...
sounds like a true crime doc or
totally.
Something.
I know it's getting adapted, as it should. And I think hopefully they'll keep the same name. If you would pass me the book, I actually wanted to go back to what you said about the vivid writing. There was one beginning of a chapter. It's the first page of chapter 16. This doesn't give anything away, but it's like a sampling of what you were talking about, the writing. This is from the perspective of Ren, actually, not from the butcher. All at once, like an unpredictable hemorrhage, Ren can smell it. It's subtle, so subtle that she wonders if it's just an olfactory hallucination, a result of too many morgue hours. To an untrained nose, it could smell like a foul plate of festival food or a street meat experiment gone awry, but Ren knows it's unmistakably the stench of early decomposition in a stifling hot weather. I could go on, but like, her word choice is so intentional. It conjures very specific imagery, and also like, you get every... all five senses in that one paragraph. And I think that she, yes, is an expert in the field, which is obvious from the way that this was written, but she does try to really bring you into every element of living this experience from Ren's perspective and then also from the butcher's perspective. I didn't love this, but I think it's because I've been spending so much time in happier genres that this was such a detour. And the jumping back and forth between the two perspectives, while like a very common setup for many books, I either just wanted to watch him be hunted by her, or I wanted to watch him do the hunting. It was a lot for me, the back and forth.
I will say that I too didn't love it, but it's because I am in a stressful work thing right now. I mean, this is my jam. You know, I binged all of Criminal Minds in what, 2 months? It was unhealthy.
I'm like 2 years in and I've only done 5 seasons because I have to take breaks because it's disturbing.
Marissa calls it my screaming shows. She's like, oh, you're watching one of your screaming shows again? Like, this is the stuff that I very much enjoy. And I think if I was not working on a house right now and I was just like fostering dogs or whatever, and you know, I would have been in a different mindset and absolutely loved it. And instead, what normally wouldn't gross me out, like the scene where she's doing the autopsy, I felt like I was going to vomit.
I was nauseous a lot.
Yeah. A lot.
That's how you know it's good. See, I love that stuff. And I also work in a dental office, which is pretty gross on a regular basis. Like, if there's, like, blood anywhere, it's like, that came from somebody's gums. Like, that's the worst kind of blood, in my opinion.
I will say I loved the unraveling of the story. I did figure it out, but listen, that's just...
Yeah, there. I should say, to my comment earlier, there is a big reveal in this, similar to what I was saying about Gone Girl. There is a moment here where you're like...
like, 3/4 of the way
crap.
In.
Yeah. Yes. And I think... you guys probably sensed it long before I did, just because you read a lot of stories like this and you listen to a lot of murdery podcasts, but it probably took me longer than it took you to realize what was going to happen. But once it did, I feel like it picks up the intensity like immediately once that pivot happens, and you become sort of even more invested in her ability to find this person. I will say, afterward, I was like, I wonder why, like, I didn't love this the way that I've loved some of the other similar type stories. And I went to Goodreads to check out the reviews. There are a ton of 1-star reviews on this book. A ton. Like dozens and dozens and dozens. Many of them are from people who listen to her podcast and love it and decided to read the book because of that, and said that they felt it read more like a screenplay than a book, and that they could see it on screen, but they didn't love it in this format, which is kind of like a backhanded compliment. And then some people said it read like a rough draft, that wasn't fully polished and fully sort of finalized, which I could also see. Her expertise is the thing that makes it great. I do think parts of the story are like a little rough around the edges, or like Steph and I were talking about, it changes tenses in certain parts, but it's kind of sloppy. But I think when it comes to the screen, it will be great.
And I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Screaming and all.
And I think that the other thing is, Molly, when you read that excerpt about like the pungent smell when she's at the like festival, the carnival, whatever it is, I think that a lot of people that haven't worked in that world would just be like, and there was a rancid smell. And she really dives into it where you're like, I can taste how bad this smells. And so I think that she has a lot of potential. Yes. And I was like, you know what? For a first book, this is pretty darn good. And I do feel like the pace of it feels like a movie. Like, I get why people are like, this is screenplay-ish. The pace of it is fast. It's not a long book, and there's a lot of information in it. Like, there's a lot of twists and turns. There's a lot of detail in, like, about the bodies and about hunting the bodies and all of that. And so it definitely packs a punch.
Wait, this just made me realize, ever since reading this was what, like 2 weeks ago that I read this? There's a scene about a basement window and how easy it is to crawl in. And I have been basically like going around making sure that my home is secure.
There were a lot of moments in the book that freaked me out in that way. I felt that same way about the basement window scene, but there were other moments around home break-ins, surveillance of people, where I was like, oh my God, I live on the first floor. Like, you know, there's just like a lot of things where I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
So there is another book that's out by another podcaster that I think you guys should read. Steph, I think you have. It's actually my brother's copy. He read it first and then I read it, and I think I gave it to you. I'm pretty sure it's called All Good People Here.
Wait, by Ashley Flowers. Show me the cover. Yes, I have it in my bedroom.
Okay, so this is the cover, Mall. So I think that I read these books basically back to back, and so like I kind of compared the two, and this one's by Ashley Flowers, and she does, is she My Favorite Murder, maybe?
No, she is not.
Oh, sugar. Now I'm going to have to look it up. Hold on. This one is like a literary version of that. Not, there's nobody being hunted. It's not two perspectives, but it's like a small town, and there are a lot of suspects, and you, like, the whole time you're kind of like, I don't really know who this is going to be. Like, it's very well set up, and you have to do a little more, like, I would say mind work. But I don't think that The Butcher and the Wren was meant to be mind work. Like, I don't think that she was really setting out to, like, trick anybody. I think she wanted to be like, this is what bodies are like. This is what messed up serial killer people are like. And these are the people that, like, have the patience to try and find them. And that's what she wanted it to be. And so I think it kind of depends on what you're in the mood for. But I think that we should do an episode about this other book, because it's like a mix of like a Gillian Flynn and this.
Okay.
Hold on. I want to find out which podcast she is. Yes, I know she's an American podcaster. What is her podcast? Oh, Crime Junkie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So she's one of the co-hosts of Crime Junkie, and then she wrote this book. This book came out after The Butcher and the Wren. But I'm glad that you both sort of liked it.
I'm glad I read it. I feel like I do sometimes become obsessed with books in this genre. Also, she's from Boston, which has automatically made me want to support her, because as everyone at this table knows, it's very hard to get a book published. And I was just like, this is a local gal that's like doing it. She has a great podcast. She got this book out into the world. It's being optioned. Like, I just want to support that. And even though I was nauseous a lot, I do think it's going to be great on film. And so I'm glad to have this as like the baseline before it comes to the screen.
Do we want to talk about what we are reading right now? What Let's people moved on to after the chase and the murder? I mean, I'm not going to lie to people. If you are going to get squeamish about human beings being hunted, like, maybe don't read that book. But if you're like, I'm fascinated by like criminal profiling and like how twisted people's brains actually are, dive right in.
Yes, well said. So you both know that after we finished recording the last episode, I ended up having to take my sister to the ER. And for those listening, she is fine. But it was an emergency. And as the eldest child in the family, I have taken many a family member to the ER. So I had the forethought, bring a book. The book I read, well, started, I'm not going to even mention. Here's what I will say. Had nothing to do with being in the ER because I gave it a fair shot after I got home a different day. I started it. I've read a couple books by this author. I wanted to love it because it takes place in Wyoming and Utah, and there's horses and there's second chance love. But I got to a page 130, I think it was, and someone got killed, and it just didn't feel like I was reading the novel I thought I was reading.
Did you DNF this book?
Correct.
Is this the second book ever that
Wait,
you haven't finished?
One? What was the first one?
There was another one. I feel like you just mentioned it on the pod.
Oh, there was. There was a romance book that I did not finish recently too, but I don't even remember what that one was called. Anyways.
This is big growth, people.
Well, I don't
Steph
own
used
it.
To think that she needed to finish every freaking book. And I was like, the world is too, we get one life here.
Yeah.
Get rid of the book.
I was sitting in bed, not loving it, like very much the opposite of loving it, and was thinking to myself, I could be better using my time by editing my own manuscript. And so I stopped.
That also takes place in Miami.
I love how nice you're being about like not saying what the book is.
I feel bad putting the negative energy out there. And maybe if I was in the right mindset and finished it, I'd be like, oh, I'm glad that I read that. But the thing that happened just felt so out of place, and it changed the story completely.
Okay, so it's my book. I own it. I read 80 pages of it and ditched it. And I gave it to Steph and said, I ditched this book that takes place in Wyoming because your book is better. And so I don't need to read this one because I have a better one in my Google Docs right now. So I gave up on it. You made it a little further. I do not know the event of which you speak because I didn't make it that far. But based on what I did read, the fact that anyone dies within that many pages is insane. There's no way that she could have worked up to that. I'm proud of you for not finishing it. And
I still am going to pass it on to Molly because maybe you would enjoy it. I don't know. I don't think so.
What
but...
a rave review from the two
right,
of you.
I know. Well, I
you
do,
only get one
I
life.
Want you to
read
start
this
it.
Book we both hated.
No, I do want you to just at least start it just to see, just to understand.
Like, maybe it's just us. Maybe.
I don't think it is. If anybody is dying to know how to save their time by not reading this book, you can message us and we will let you know what it is so that you don't read it. But the people I know that are our friends that listen to this podcast, I don't even think that they read books by this person. I don't know that many that would have. I don't think that people would come across it maybe that easily.
I feel like I've seen it a lot recently in bookstores.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe for Valentine's Day.
If you want to know what it is, listeners, you can DM us. You can email us. We'll tell you what it is. Steph is really taking the high road right now, and I'm trying really hard not to just say what it is.
It's that I would be mortified if I was the author hearing,
totally.
You know?
I know. This is also why Stephanie stopped rating books on Goodreads, because she didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Whereas I smashed that like 1-star, 2-star button with no reservations.
Same. I don't care.
And then I write a review.
People need to know. I don't want to spend money on something that stinks.
Okay, but I believe in karma. And when my book comes out,
yeah, verbally
putting
stated
it out there,
goal,
I will not be able to look at Goodreads ever. So I'm going to be horrified. Nervous.
Okay, well, I'm going to read all the reviews on your book and I'll screenshot you the 5-star ones.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what you have friends for, is you have to call it, you know. I am still reading 7 Days in June, August. What is it called? Days in June. I'm sorry. I knew it was a summer month. It really doesn't have a lot to do with the actual book.
True.
That's true.
I would have rather it have been the characters' names because that's really who it's about.
We're going to discuss it in a...
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything. It's good so far. I'm enjoying it. It's definitely, like, juicy. The characters are real and likable. And I am looking forward to finishing it so that we can do our next step on it. And then I just took the book Counterfeit off of Steph's to be read pile. It was almost an avalanche situation trying to get that book from where it was, but I got it. And so that's probably going to be on my list at some point because I'm going to be done with 7 days really soon. So, and I'm going to Florida and I usually bring like 3 books. So, although Counterfeit's a hardcover, we'll have to see if it makes a cut.
Counterfeit is a book. That's my copy. It's a book I impulse purchased in Target because it has an amazing cover.
It does.
We'll take a picture of it and share it with all of you. So after I finished The Butcher and the Wren and got over my wave of nausea, I was like, I need to go back to romance land. I can't take this like Scaryville. So I went over to my TBR pile, which is also teetering. And I took out this book called The Kiss Quotient, which is not new. Many people have read this book, especially in the romance reader community. This has been like a fave for many years. It's by Helen Huang. I actually listened to a podcast interview with her about writing this book long before I ever read it.
What podcast was it?
Forever 35.
Oh, okay. I'll look it up.
Yep. I can share the link if folks are interested. It's hosted by Dori Shafir and Kate Spencer, who are also authors. So The Kiss Quotient is about a woman who is on the autism spectrum who has gotten some harsh feedback from previous lovers and decides that she needs to hire someone to basically teach her to learn how to be romantic and be in a relationship. So she hires an escort. I loved this book so much. I could not put it down. I read it over like a day and a half. I stayed up until midnight after the Oscars to finish it because I had to know what was going to happen. And then I quickly moved on to another one of her books that Stephanie also gave to me.
We don't have the second one. That's why.
So the second book is called The Bride Test, which we don't have access to at the moment. The third book is called The Heart Principle. And I am now on page 250 of The Heart Principle. I will probably finish it tonight. And I am obsessed with these books. Like, I just feel like it's a really fresh perspective and a different type of story than you typically read in these romancy tropes. Like, it feels a little bit outside of enemies to lovers or like forced proximity. It's just like kind of in its own universe. I did put a tag in here, but why? Hold on, people, stay with me. Oh, because so in her acknowledgments for The Kiss Quotient, Jenny Howe was one of her early readers who wrote On the Plus Side, and Steph and I went to that event with her at Belmont Books. And
the
I
Makeup
was like,
Test?
Yes, The Makeup Test. Thank you, her other book. I just didn't even know that they knew each other. Yeah. Like, amazing. And then also, in the acknowledgments for The Heart Principle, I didn't know that this book was delayed over a year. Like, it had an announced publication date, and then it did not come out on time. And she writes, hold on. Wait.
Do you go to the very back and read the acknowledgments before you start the book?
Sometimes. She said, when I was struggling fiercely to write this book, Julia Quinn, aka the author of the Bridgerton books, advised me to give myself time to take a year off if I could let myself slowly rediscover my love of writing. It was precisely the advice I needed, but more than that, I felt seen and understood and unspeakably touched that someone like her would even speak to me. It was a small thing for her to do, but she positively impacted my life. Thank you, JQ. This just, how relatable is that? That she looked at another author and said that someone like that would even speak to me. I feel like that is how we feel when people like repost our content or respond to our messages. Like, it just made me feel like she's one of us, like a person who wrote a draft and hoped it would get out into the world. And in her case, had some success and then like faltered big time. The book was a year and a half late.
So I'm very excited to say that I think the reason you're having a hard time naming what tropes are being dealt with in Helen Huang books is because there's a new trope that's happening where it's like, you know,
neurodivergent.
Yes. So like Love on the Spectrum is like a super popular show. Bradley Cooper in an interview just said it's his favorite show. And he's like, I just got into it. But Helen herself got diagnosed as having Asperger's, which they don't really use that term anymore because he was a problematic person. But she's on the spectrum, and she found out when she was 34, and she's now in her early 40s. And so I think that we are going to start to see more books where there are characters who have social struggles that are trying to navigate being in a relationship. And I just read Tilly in Technicolor, which dealt with two people that were neurodivergent. I just gave that to Steph. I'm
actually in it right now.
Oh, you are? Yeah. I read it in like two sittings, I think. But I think that this is, I don't want to call it a trope. That sounds like so cheap for what it is, but I think we're going to see more characters like this. And we're going to have a harder time. We're going to be like, this is a romance novel and I don't know how to label it. And I think that that's okay, that we don't need to have a label for it.
Totally. And it felt like to have these women in both cases of both these books as the star, not like the sidekick or like the cousin or like, I mean, they are like the stars of the book. They find love. They have these meaningful, deep relationships. They also have like sensory overload and they need to remove themselves from situations, or they have a hard time making friends at work. There's like many things that are covered, but they are really like whole characters in a way that I'm really enjoying. So I'm sure that when I finish this, I will find a way to get the Bride Test, even if that means I have to buy it, because I'm now president of the Helen Huang fan club.
So I just want to tell you that, so I own, those are both mine. And I own both of them. And I purposely did not buy the third one because
it. Second one.
I'm sorry. The second book in the series, if you will. It's kind of similar to the Angeline Bouley books, where it's like one character is a cousin of another cousin, and that's how the books are like loosely connected. The second one is about a person who is on the spectrum. And they're like being involved in an arranged marriage, and they like get sent to Asia to meet this like, I was like, I don't think this is for me. I don't think that I'm, and I read some reviews of it and it was like, this was tough. Like, I see what they were trying to get at, but like, it wasn't so great. And so I just skipped it I read that you don't have to read them in order. And so I was like, I'll just read the other one. And that's what I did.
I didn't know that, but also in this third one, when I was in Belmont Books very recently, one of the booksellers was telling me how the Heart Principle, the third one, was her favorite because it brings back a character from book one. And she was like, if you loved Quan, Michael's cousin, you're going to love this. And I was like, okay, well, Audrey's her name. Shout out Audrey. Has very good taste in books. And I don't know if I can say which one I liked better. I always feel like whichever one you read first, you have like the most like affinity for, because it just like opened you to that person or that category. But this is just so delightful. And there's nothing better than like binge reading a book. It's just the best feeling.
I will say that I know that the Kiss Quotient also got optioned, but it was in 2018. So I don't think anything's happening with it.
Oh, Lordy.
I know.
I feel like they're a lot like that. So when we went to the romance author event, Jasmine Guillory was talking about how many of her books have been optioned. And we shared on our Instagram that her most recent book, Drunk on Love, was just optioned and now has writers attached who are the sisters, Tembi and Attica Locke, who wrote from scratch. It's going to be probably amazing. But her earlier
Attica Locke also writes mystery books that I've read.
Yes. Thank you for saying that.
And she did, what was that TV show on Fox with the guy that faked his arrest?
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you know it. It was like all black cast. They were music producers. I think Taraji P. Henson was in it.
My God. What was it called?
Empire.
Yeah, I think Attica Locke was a writer for Empire, too.
I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure.
So what I mean to say is that Jasmine Guillory has had like multiple things optioned over many years. And for some reason, this newest one is the one that's like actually moving forward at like a fast clip, even though the other ones already had deals. And my understanding is, having heard her speak now and read a bunch of interviews with her, I guess your book can be optioned before it's even published. Like, sometimes that's part of the process. before they even know if it sells well or it's going to be a book club pick or whatever.
Martian? Was that what it was called? The book with...
The one that he self-published?
Yeah.
That became
that was
the Matt optioned
Damon... before it even got traditionally published.
That became the Matt Damon movie?
Yeah. Hmm.
Interesting.
I don't understand how Hollywood works, so...
Empire. Yep, I'm right.
I love
Empire. She's a producer on that, too.
Cookie Lyon is one of the greatest characters that has ever existed on TV. That's Taraji P's character, who has an incredible wardrobe. Anyway, y'all, if you wanted to know what we're reading, all this TV film adaptation that we're talking about, give us a follow on Instagram at @plansarebooked. That's where we're sharing all this stuff in real time. Every Thursday when the new episode drops, we share all kinds of behind the scenes photos, video. Give us a follow there. You can write to us at plansarebooked@gmail.com. Tell us what you're reading, what you want to hear us talk about. If you want to know what this book is that Stephanie did not reveal, you can also write to us. We love hearing from you.
Until next time, our plans are booked.